Chicago night, with a wind howling light. I caught my first sight, a resurrection Mary.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Wednesday morning. That means Wild Card Wednesday. 312-981-7200. Any artist, any song, anything. Get your requests in. We're going to talk about some legendary monsters of North America. Got some Halloween hoaxes that we're going to get into. What was the most popular Halloween costume in the year you were born? And then childhood movie scenes that scarred people for life. Just those, just scenes. They don't have to necessarily be from horror movies, but just scenes from movies that just, And then we're going to celebrate the that today in history, War of the Worlds radio broadcast freaked everybody out. So we'll talk a little bit about that. That's all coming up on the show. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. And we would like to welcome Mao to the show. We love to talk about this time of year. We love to talk about, you know, like you just heard the song about Resurrection Mary. That's one of our favorite stories, one of our favorite ghost stories and legends in the Chicago area, of which there are plenty. But there's also a bunch of folk tales and legends of the Middle West. And in fact, there's a book called Folk Tales and Legends of the Middle West. Edward McClelland is the author. And he goes by Ted, so we're going to call him Ted. And he's been on the show before. How to Talk Midwestern was the last time he was here. But now we're going to talk about some of these great sort of folk tales and legends. Let's welcome Ted back to the show. Ted, welcome back, man.
Hey, great to be back. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you too, man. So how did this book come about, man?
Well, I kind of wanted to do something where sort of an oral tradition, oral history book, and you know, I've done a couple programs where I told stories and I had a musician singing songs that went along with the stories, and I guess I wanted to also write a history of the Midwest through folk tales and legends, you know, from the days of the, you know, the Potawatomi and the Ojibwe all up through the industrial era. So I've got stories about, you know, how turtle helped create the world. And I have stories about Nanobozo, who inspired the Hiawatha story. And then it goes all the way up to the modern day, where you have people like Joe Magarac, who is sort of a golem of the steel mills, and the Lake Erie Monster, who was created by pollution seeping out of the Cuyahoga River.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I love these old folk tales and things like that. I mean, they just go, they get passed down from generation to generation. How did you, when you gathered these, well, first of all, how did you choose the ones that you put in the book?
Well, I wanted to, you know, cover the sweep of history. You know, I started with the creation of the world. So, you know, I wanted to cover all the different states, different ethnic groups. I mean, there were some that were really obvious. Obviously, you know, there are Paul Bunyan stories in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a story about the Underground Railroad. You know, they're trying to get from Alabama to Cairo, Illinois, because that's where freedom is. So I have Mike Fink. He might not be as well known, but he was there was a Walt Disney movie, Davy Crockett and the River Pirates.
Mm.
And Mike Fink was a character. He was a keelboatman, a legendary keelboatman on the Ohio River, and they filmed it in Illinois. They filmed it at Cavern Rock, Illinois, because that's where pirates supposedly hid out.
Yeah.
I think they actually did hide out in that cave. And Mike Fink took on the pirates and evicted them from their cave.
Oh, okay. So you got you covered the gamut in this. In this one, yeah. Now, when you're talking about these stories that have been sort of passed down and retold over generation to generation, how did you distill them from? Because, you know, sometimes people will tell these stories and they'll change details or they'll change, you know, names or facts or anything like that. In doing research, I'm sure that like these tales have been told. How did you get them to you know, how did you distill them to make sure that it was as accurate as possible?
Well, I mean, I wasn't really going for accuracy. accuracy. I think I talked in the, I mean, because most of these are legendary anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So nobody knows the real story. You know, I think I talked in the book about the difference between the facts and the truth.
Right.
So I try to get at the truth, because really for most of these there are no facts. So and I try to tell them all in a narrative way, in a storytelling way. You know, it's not really an academic book about mythology and folklore.
Yeah.
I mean, another one that a lot of people might be familiar with is the Hodag. Have you heard of the Hodag?
Yeah, I have. Well, let's talk about that. You know, the Hodag is our neighbors in the north here
right.
know about this. Let's tell everybody about the Hodag.
Well, it's in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and supposedly, you know, this was in the North Woods, and supposedly the Hodag was appeared after an ox that pulled logs had been burned for 7 years, and you know, a Hodag was, you know, the most fearsome creature in the North Woods. It had, you know, spines along its back like a dinosaur. It had huge fangs. And this story is about a guy who he wants to capture a Hodag to display at the county fair. And supposedly he does capture a Hodag, but it escapes. So he has a friend carve his own Hodag and kind of puts it behind a curtain and has his son shake it and make big growling sounds and charges people a dime to see it. But you know, if you go to Rhinelander, there's a Hodag statue in front of the Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
The sports teams are called the Hodags. They have the Hodag Country Festival. They have Hodag Oil Change. So this is, you know, supposedly a mythological creature, but you know, it really exists in the life of this town.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they've totally embraced it up there. Totally
yeah.
embraced
yeah.
it, and I think it's fantastic. We talked about the Hodag before. I've had people from that town, you know, talk about it before. But it's such a great legend, and I love the statue, and I love the way the thing looks. Terrifying, though.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, so you've been up there?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess we can get on to talking about Resurrection Mary, but that in a way has become a reality. Because have you heard of a bar called Chet's Musical Lounge?
Chet's.
Yes, it's right across the street from Resurrection Cemetery.
Oh, no.
Every Sunday, they leave a Bloody Mary on the bar for Resurrection Mary to drink. I went in there on a Sunday, and there it was.
There it is. They leave it out there.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, Resurrection Mary is such a legendary ghost story here in the
yeah.
Chicagoland area. And, you know, in the overnight hours, dating back to Chicago Eddie Schwartz on this station, and Stephen Johnny, and anybody who's worked the overnight hours has at this time of year loves to talk about Resurrection Mary. For people who don't, maybe you've not heard about it, it's a legendary story. What is Resurrection Mary, and what happens to the people who drive past Resurrection Cemetery?
Well, it's kind of a variation of a story that actually appears in a lot of places. It's called the Vanishing Hitchhiker story.
Right.
And, you know, Resurrection Mary was a young woman who supposedly died in an auto accident. She worked at the Brock's Candy Factory. She went out with some guys, and they crashed into a pillar of the L. And a guy goes to, there used to be the O. Henry Ballroom. That's where all the big bands would play,
mm-hmm.
out on Archer Avenue. Out in Justice. So a guy goes there to the O. Henry Ballroom, sees an attractive young woman, starts dancing with her, kind of notices her hands are kind of cold, and you know, that he offers her a ride home. And when they get to the Resurrection Cemetery, she says, she asks him to pull over, and she says, "I have to go out and you can't follow me." And then she walks to the gates and lays a hand on the iron chain that bound them together and vanishes. Now, she'd given him an address where she wanted to be taken home to. So the next day, he goes to the house. Woman answers the door, and he asks if Mary's home. And she says, "Well, Mary doesn't live here anymore. Mary died in a car accident 4 years ago." And so he realizes that he's danced with a ghost.
Mm.
So he never goes back to the ballroom again. But once the big band era ends, Mary stops showing up at the at the O. Henry Ballroom because that was the music she liked to dance to. But she was buried in a term grave, which was a rented plot which only held remains for a quarter century. And when the term expired, she was moved to another corner of the cemetery, and supposedly that revived her ghost. So the Justice Police got a report of a woman in a white dress walking through the grounds of Resurrection Cemetery. When they arrived at the gates, they found two bars pried open with scorch marks where a pair of hands would have gripped them. Mm-hmm. A couple was driving down Archer Avenue, and they saw a girl wearing a white dress lying in the street, and the man at the wheel swerved to avoid her, but she disappeared before his tires could make contact. And there was one of these ghost shows where there was a guy, and I think I kind of based the story in the book on this. There was a guy who talked, an older guy who talked about supposedly how he had danced with Resurrection Mary back in the 30s or the 40s.
Right.
So I know there are some Chicago ghost tours, and one of them goes down to Chet's Musical Lounge mm-hmm. and to Resurrection Cemetery and covers Resurrection Mary. So that's the only real Chicago-based story in my book.
Right.
And it's definitely, as you say, the most famous Chicago ghost story.
Oh, yeah. No, it's legendary. And, of course, you know, the whole thing about, like, some guys, like, pick her up. She gets in the back seat of the car, and then she disappears. And
right.
It just goes on forever. Right, listen, Ted, hang on, okay, man?
Okay.
All right. Ted McClelland is with us. Edward McClelland, he's billed as, and the book is called Folk Tales and Legends of the Middle West. And we'll get back to some more of these legendary stories and folk tales right here on 720 WGN.
The wind and the wires made a tattletale sound, and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How's it going? We're live in the Skyline studio here till 5 o'clock. Wildcard Wednesday will be coming up. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We are also going to talk about some Halloween costumes that were popular when you were born. We're going to talk some legendary monsters of North America, Halloween hoaxes. And War of the Worlds, the radio broadcast, took place on this date years ago and freaked everybody out. And we'll talk a little bit about that event right now. Edward McClelland is my guest. He is the author of Folk Tales and Legends of the Middle West, which covers all these really great stories and folk tales in the Midwest area. And we're welcoming Ted back to the show. Ted, welcome back.
Hey, great. You're playing the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Right.
Fitz Day's coming up. That's our next big holiday after Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it's always the second week of November is always the craziest week of the year on the Great Lakes, because that's when the cold air from Canada collides with the warm air from the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
And so that's when the Fitz sank.
Yeah, it's another legendary story we got here. So what was it? Have you always been interested in these kind of folk tales and stuff?
Oh yeah, for sure. And I do have a Great Lakes story, a Great Lakes shipwreck story.
Okay.
About the Griffin, which was the first shipwreck on the Great Lakes, and it was built by LaSalle. You know, we all know LaSalle from mm-hmm. the street. And it disappeared on its maiden voyage, and supposedly it still appears to rookie sailors on their first voyage. You know, a ship with tattered sails and peeling paint. I think it last appeared maybe around in the 1950s.
Okay.
I've always been interested in folk tales. I mean, I've always collected stories like this. So, I mean, I think a lot of these I already knew about even before I started the book. I discovered in my research.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, tell us about the Nain Rogue, the demon that haunts Detroit.
Oh, Nain Rouge. You
yeah,
know,
Nain
every
Rouge.
Year, every year there is a parade in Detroit. to get rid of the Nain Rouge. And let me just get to that one.
Yeah, so what's the Nain Rouge all about?
He was supposedly a demon who stowed away on a ship from Normandy, and Cadillac. You know, we remember him for the car.
Sure,
but you know he was the founder of Detroit. And when he was on his way to, you know, he got a royal grant. And when he was on his way, he stopped in Quebec City and had dinner with the governor. And a fortune teller told him to beware. She said, "You must check your pride and ambition, and you must appease the Nain Rouge." But you know, he's this arrogant Frenchman, and when he sees the Nain Rouge actually coming down the riverbank, he hits him with a cane.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nain Rouge then puts a curse on Detroit. So that's the reason so many terrible things have supposedly happened in Detroit.
Huh.
You know, there was a massacre, an Indian massacre in 1763, and the fire in 1805. And there was the city was sacked by the British in 1812. Of course, there was a riot.
Mm-hmm.
In 1967, and you know, this year the Tigers lost 114 games,
right.
And people blame it all on the Nain Rouge.
Right.
So there's this march. It's the first Sunday after the vernal equinox every year, and people wear masks so that the Nain Rouge won't recognize them, and they ride on Mardi Gras style floats, and they try to sing and dance away the curse. So, but apparently Detroit is still under this curse, the oldest curse in North America.
Wow, and the parade, they still do the parade. They still dress up and do the whole thing.
Oh yeah. I have a friend who goes there every year, who lives in Detroit.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's a great one. That's a good one. All right. Well, tell us about the Bessie, the Lake Erie monster.
Okay. All right, Bessie. Well, you know, there was a hockey team. They were originally called a minor league hockey team. They were originally called the Lake Erie Monsters. Now they're the Cleveland Monsters, and I think Great Lakes Brewing has a beer called the Lake Erie Monster.
Mm-hmm.
So we all remember how polluted the Cuyahoga River was,
right.
and how it caught fire.
Right, right.
So you know these fishermen are out. You know, they're out on Lake Erie, and all of a sudden the water underneath the boat starts to heave, and the boat starts to rock side to side. And they see this huge black shape larger than the boat gliding under the surface. First they think it's an alligator, but then it grips the hull of the boat and rocks it back and forth. And they call the Coast Guard, and they say, "We saw this thing that looks like a really long alligator, like the creature from the Black Lagoon." And they say, "It sounds like you saw the Lake Erie Monster."
Mm.
So the Lake Erie Monster is a... I think it was a sturgeon. Started its life as a sturgeon.
Okay.
And then it started just inhaling toxic waste that was flowing out of the Cuyahoga River. Just became addicted to toxic waste. The more it ate, the larger and larger it got. And so turned into this grotesque creature and developed a hatred of humans, and it just started attacking boats. It started attacking ships that came into Cleveland, and but once the city cleaned up the river, the monster had no food, and so it withered and returned to its original shape.
Wow. Now, who named it Bessie? Do we know?
It was named after it was named after a nuclear power plant.
Oh,
the best. A newspaper held a contest to name the monster, so they settled it on South Bay Bessie, after the Davis Bessie nuclear power plant, which is sort of another symbol of humanity's capacity to mutate nature.
Yeah,
and then there's a wax museum that has a portrait of the Great Lake Erie serpent.
Oh wow! So,
but that's another one, you know, with the beer and with the hockey team. That's kind of like the Hodag. That's another one where the legend has become part of the city's culture.
Yeah. Well, I think that's true. I think that's true of a lot of these folk tales. I mean, we're talking about, you know, we got a bar that's leaving a Bloody Mary on a bar on the bar for Resurrection Mary. We've, you know, the we talked about the how that people are embracing the hodag
In Pittsburgh, there's a statue of Joe Magarac. He was the man of steel. He was born in a he was born in an iron mine, and he could work 24 hours a day. He could lift more steel than anybody else.
Yeah,
and he finally ended up melting himself in a furnace to build the biggest steel mill in Pittsburgh.
And they got a statue up for him.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, listen, this book is great, man. And I give a shout out to your illustrator real quick before we let you go.
Oh yeah. David Wilson, he's a guy from Cleveland. He made it look beautiful.
He did.
He's got some fantastic stuff.
Yeah, the illustrations are great. The stories are fun and interesting and really cool. Ted, thanks a lot, man. It's a terrific book, and people can get it now.
It's Bell Publishing. It's a Midwestern publisher out of Cleveland, so you can look for it on their website.
Okay. Folk Tales and Legends of the Middle West. Ted, thanks very much, man.
All right, thank you.
Happy Halloween.
You too.
All right, there you go. There's Ted, Ted McClelland, and it's called Folk Tales and Legends of the Middle West, and you can check out edwardmcclelland.com. That's his website for more information. A really terrific book, great, great fun stories and folk tales, and really fun illustrations as well. So there you go. Check out that book. It's really fun to tell these stories around this time of year as well. Okay, let's take a quick break. We got the news coming up next here on 720 WGN.